just make sure you came to the right presentation, okay?
Yeah.
No-code SharePoint 2013 solutions for power users. A seat for Mani right over here. Mark Gillis, yours truly. Your presenters. Now, well, let's drill down a little bit here, okay? Asif, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. What would you like to know? My horoscope?
The horoscope is a good place to start. Yeah.
We'll skip that for a second. You know, the main title that I've given myself is Power User Evangelist. That's my self-given title. What I really do, like Marcus printed out some of the stuff, a long-time SharePoint MVP, I think seven-some years now, founder of SharePointVideos.com. Anybody been to SharePoint Videos? Awesome, thank you guys. And instructor for SharePoint 2013, no-code solutions class right now, but before that I've done many other stuff as well, including InfoPath. Anyway, so that's my story. Mark.
He's a tough act to follow. So my name is Mark Gillis. I'm a 20-year veteran of Microsoft. Okay, almost there next August. 33 years in the computer industry. I can remember punch cards. I can remember paper tape punch. That's how long I've been in the computer industry, and it probably shows. But also, I'm the author of the No-Code Solutions Handbook, and we'll talk about that a little bit here. And then I'm also the curator of the No-Code Solutions website. And those are two sources of documentation that Microsoft offers. And so we'll get into that in the presentation pretty soon.
Yeah.
And also, let's not forget, we are passionate about power users.
Absolutely.
Okay. How many power users in the audience right here? Okay. A lot. That's good. Okay. Great.
Let's do it.
Who is a power user? Okay. So let's make sure we're all on the same wavelength. A power user is someone who has technical expertise in, you know, one or more areas of SharePoint. Okay. They understand the business needs of their enterprise, their organization, whatever size it is, okay, whatever you do, okay? And typically, you do not code for a living, okay? And so those three things classify you as a power user, as we define it, okay? So you're like in between the end user and the developer or even the admin audience, okay? Now, you may have heard the term citizen developer, okay? That's just a synonym. And then BUIT, I've seen that term thrown around a lot. That stands for Business User IT. We like the term power user, okay? Because that really fits the audience very well, the term. Now, every audience, okay, needs a motto. Okay, this is your motto, all the people in this room, right? Let's not write code until we have to write code.
True.
Okay, right?
All right.
You agree? Woo! Okay, yeah. All right? That is your motto, okay? That is your philosophy as a power user, okay?
Hey, Mark, is code evil? Is that what you're saying?
No. Code is not evil. Code is good, okay? Developers are okay. Some of my best friends are developers, okay? But...
Some, he said.
Yeah, some of my best friends,
not
right?
Many.
But let's not write code until we have to write code, and that's a philosophy, okay? It's an attitude. And it works on the SharePoint platform because there's so much rich functionality on the SharePoint platform, as well as Office, which has all these incredible integration points with the SharePoint platform. So this is your motto, okay? Well, enough slides. Let's get into a demo.
Already?
Okay.
Oh, my God.
To the demo master here.
The first within 5 minutes doing a demo? Have you heard
that
before?
Yeah, that's pretty exciting.
I got to tell you, every time we go to sessions and stuff, you know, we're kind of saying, all right, when the slides are going to end, and the real stuff is going to begin, right? So we thought, you know what, why not throw you into the real stuff right away, and then we'll come back out, do some slides, take some questions, go back and some more demos.
Think of it as tag team presentation style, okay?
Let's see how that works out, yeah. So one thing that I want to make clear is, you know, what is the business scenario that I'm about to show right now? Anybody done any live mapping or any kind of like, okay, one person here, a few people, not many, it seems like. Would you like to do some mapping, you know, for data and stuff like that? So what I mean by that is, let me draw you a picture and have you understand what I mean. You can see it, right? Okay. You're having too much fun back there, it seems like.
Yeah.
Maybe we should just make noise for the sake of making some noise.
Yeah, everybody make a lot of noise.
Woo!
See if we can...
Yeah!
Yeah! Yeah! Yeah!
Better than you are. That's
right. Yeah.
Okay.
You all feel better?
Imagine you had a list or a library and you had some content, right? They're responding back. So, and you want to be able to map out the data that you put in there. For example, my example is going to be our team, our actual team for SharePointVideos.com. It's spread out completely throughout the country. And before and earlier versions of SharePoint, if you really want to map things out as to where they're located, you actually had to embed some code in or do some other magic to make it happen. Now, many people don't realize that this functionality is already baked into SharePoint 2013. Did you guys know that, some of you? Okay. Well, this thing is called, it's called geolocation column, or geolocation functionality, basically. I'm going to show you that to show you how powerful that is, and we'll go from there, right? Okay. Here's the deal. I want to put in information, like I said before, I want to map things out. So I'll make a contacts list for my contact people, add an app. This is running, by the way, in a virtual machine within a SharePoint on-premise, and I want to declare this up front before you guys ask and throw something at me later. This does not work in SharePoint Online at this time. I don't know if this is coming later or not, but it's not available in...
Do you want it in SharePoint Online?
Well, we don't know what it is yet, right? Afterwards.
Oh, okay, yeah. We'll wait, and after we'll ask you that. Okay, good point.
Maybe it sucks or something. They're like, oh, we don't want it. Keep it, please. Don't provide us this junk. All right. No, I'm just kidding. I think it's pretty cool, and you can hopefully start to see the kind of things that you can do with it. So here's what I'm going to do. Team contacts. And I'm going to go ahead and make, first before I'll make an item, let me go ahead and add that particular type of column, the geolocation column, in here. List settings. It is a site column. So I need to go to add from existing site columns. I'm going to zoom in a little bit so you guys can see in the back. Hang on a second. Okay, I got a bunch of them. I added too many of them. Okay. Here's the column. In this case, I've defined it as location. So I'm going to go ahead and add the location site column to this particular list, right? Add. And I know this for sure that this is the right column that I added because it says so right here. As you can see, it says geolocation. I mean, location and geolocation right here, right? Okay. Pretty simple to use it. I'll go back to my team contacts, the actual list. Add a new item. I am from Chicago, by the way, so I'm going to add Chicago in here. Anybody else from Chicago?
Chicago, right. Yeah.
There
of
you
course.
Go.
Yeah.
All right. Asif Rahmani. At the end, it gives me this site column called location. You see at the bottom? And I can say use my location right now the way it is, or I can specify a specific location by clicking on this, which is what I'm going to do right now. Specify location, latitude, longitude. Of course, I need to provide. Okay. No, not a New Yorker. Chicago. So I'm going to the Bing Maps service, pulling from there the latitude and longitude information. Here we go. And then here we go. Yeah, that should be a negative at the beginning. Okay, that's it. And here's my live map right there, right? So this has become part of the metadata of my contact. I'll click on save. Here's what it looks like right now. So the all contacts view, which is a default view, shows me a small icon right there on the right under location that I can click on. And this is a live map right here. It's all nice and good, but you know what I would really like is to have a view which shows me this information side by side with my content, right? No problem. Got that in there. List, create view. I'll just simply call it the map view. And here's the actual map view template, by the way, that I'm going to use right here. Okay. Map view. Here we go. Maps. Actually, this might not make sense. How about like SP Videos team? Okay, that's good. Okay? And now it shows me this side by side with only one person right now that's in there. But I, of course, I can get more. Now, I do have another list. I don't want to take up too much time right now doing every single one. So I do have another list, which I have everybody in. The folks that are in my, that are in our team. So here's a maps view for that particular list. And it shows how it's spread out throughout the country. Okay? It's myself, and Mike Blonder, Carrie Bennett, Sarah Redolette, and whenever you hover over that, it should highlight that stuff as well. I think it's pretty cool functionality. What do you think?
That is awesome. Yeah? What do you think?
Terrific. Awesome.
Okay.
Can I tell them the caveat as well?
So absolutely. They don't... What's the... There's always a caveat, right?
This functionality, it is not turned on by default. You have to turn it on. It is available by default, okay, if you have SharePoint 2013 on-premise, but it's not turned on. And to answer the question of how do I turn it on, there's an actual blog post that I'll refer to in this case. So here's what you can do. We can put this link on our PowerPoint as well later. And or if you go to SharePointVideos.com and search for geolocation, you'll find this post. It's a free post out there. And then you'll see the link, and it shows you how you can do it programmatically, how you can do it PowerShell, or whatever else you like. All good.
Okay, now how many want this online? In Office 365.
Okay. Awesome.
All right. That's good to know.
So that's why we have a balance also. I know Marcus from Microsoft, I'm a non-Microsoft person, so we could be able to take that information from both sides within Microsoft to the right people to tell them.
Exactly. And we put this partnership together for exactly this reason.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry, what was the question? Yes, the question is, where is it? And this is SharePointVideos.com. SharePoint-videos.com, that is Asif's founded the company, and the link is on that website.
Yeah, you just search for geolocation column, and you're going to find that there.
I'm going to switch
over
to that.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
It is a site column, absolutely. This would need to be done through PowerShell, which, of course, requires the web server and a privilege, an administration privilege on the web server. So you do need a SharePoint admin, server admin to do this, yes. Once it's done, it's always available. It's a one-time thing.
That's
that is correct. Awesome questions. I feel like I should be giving some prizes for these awesome questions, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Give
who
prizes.
Asked the
who asked those questions now?
You asked
this
one
gentleman
awesome question.
Over here.
Can I give this to you?
In the second row.
I'm going to hurt somebody.
This gentleman over here, okay?
Oh!
He throws like a Chicago Cubs player. No. Sorry. Sorry. That was bad.
Punch like one.
Yeah, I know. I'm from Boston, so I'll say that. Okay. All right. They're coming. They're going to get it someday. They are. Okay, so quick. What is a no-code solution? Okay. Quick, useful, inexpensive, right? You saw that, okay? That was quick, okay? That was useful, and it was inexpensive, okay? I mean, how much did that cost, right? So your power users, you can do these types of things, okay? It solves a common business need, okay? This could be employees, and there's a lot of snow in Chicago, and I want to pick up someone who can't get to work, or it could be customers, and I want to find where they are on the map. Okay, so I can visit them, find the best, route to get there so I'm not late. Where's a good restaurant to take them out? Things like that, okay? That's what a no-code solution is, okay? And you may have heard the term SharePoint composite, and that was the actual term used in previous versions of SharePoint. And you also may have heard the term mashup, okay? What happened there? The concept of the mashup has been around for a long time, okay? Anyway, so the point is that no-code solution really captures the essence of what we're talking about. And there's thousands of different no-code solutions that you can make on the SharePoint platform. Really, the sky's the limit, okay? But what are some typical ones that you could do? Right up front, tracking goods, services, orders, and customers, okay? I worked with the Access team for a while. And they did a lot of analysis. What is the most common thing that people do with an Access database, okay, or other types of databases, or lists? Tracking goods, services, orders, and customers, just keeping that information there so you can track it, okay, and share. Human resource portals. That's one of the first and easiest things to do. Collect all that information, put it in one place, okay, and become more efficient. Expense reporting, that's like the classic model for a no-code solution. You can do simple things like a list, and then we're just going to keep track of mileage because we have a lot of contractors and we're paying them for that. Or it could be very advanced, and you're using InfoPath or Excel or something like that to do a company expense report. And those can be done no-code or maybe with a little code, okay? Self-service reporting, financial dashboards, okay? You know, all of the functionality that you're familiar with now, plus what you've got with Power BI, okay? Virtually all of that is a no-code solution that a Power user can, implement, okay? And then there's even more. Review and approve document workflows. That's an extremely common thing that lots of businesses do, okay? And it's fairly easy to set that up. You don't even have to go into SharePoint Designer. There's a number of workflow templates, and you just go through several different forms, and you can set up a pretty sophisticated workflow just doing that. Okay, a new hire orientation site. Okay, it's always confusing and discombobulating for the new people when they're coming in. How can we make that process a lot more efficient, okay, and get them up to speed as quick as possible? Structured documents, contracts, requests for proposals, invoices, right? Here's a document, I want to capture customer information or other structured type of data, and then I want to map the data to a Word document and to the columns in a library, okay? You can do that without code. It's actually very straightforward to do. And now I've got these documents in libraries, and then I can do other things with them. I can archive them, I can save them, I can revise them, whatever it might be. Okay, and then just something like ideation, feedback, and suggestion boxes, okay? These are very fairly simple things you can set up. You know, you're at the beginning of a project, you want to get a lot of ideas going, and then you want them all in one place so people can share, okay? So these are just typical no-code solutions, but there's hundreds and hundreds of different things you could do with a no-code solution. Okay, I think it's time for another demo.
I love the question when people ask, what can SharePoint do?
Yeah, yeah.
What is your answer to that question?
Oh, man.
I tell you what it can do. It cannot make coffee yet. That's coming in the next one. Oh, did I just give out an NDA secret?
Yeah, the Starbucks coffee app. We weren't supposed to tell people about that. But anyway, okay.
That's coming later. All right. Let's switch this over here. So the next scenario that I want to talk about here is something I think that everybody needs, everybody goes through. I want my people to have a really fresh view of my data, whatever the data might be. It might be my resellers' information, it might be my products' information, or something that I want to do within our portal here. And you know, of course, you can do a static list, right? So data, basically. Have a list of data. So you can do it static. You could do it dynamic, but how would you do it dynamic? Well, you could do it dynamic with code. Or you could do it, sorry, that used to supposed to be code. Code. This is worse handwriting than my 9-year-old son's. Anyway, so other way, what can you do? You can buy something, of course, to make it happen. There's many vendors who will sell you something. There's some really good stuff out there as well. Or you can use SharePoint Designer, Design View, 2010 and before.
Right.
Not 2013, right? But what else can you do? How can you give a nice, fresh view of some information to your users when they land on a page, like HR information or some specific resources or something? Anything that requires some nice, fresh information the way you want it to look. So one of the big wins I feel that in SharePoint 2013 that Microsoft team has worked on, it's already kind of old story, is search, right? And it kind of bothers me a little bit when people don't realize how awesome search web parts are and what it can do in a jiffy. It's so quick. So I'm going to talk about search results web part, all right? Here's what I'm going to do. Add a page. Now, by the way, before I was working in an on-premise environment, VM, this is SharePoint Online, Office 365. This functionality remains the same, doesn't matter where you are. And I'm going to call this Contoso Presentations, okay? So I'm going to drop this web part in here called the Search Results web part. Insert, web part, search, Search results. Shows me nothing to begin with, so I go into editing this web part. Once I'm there, the whole magic happens with this little button right here. Right here, change query. Okay, so you build a query using this query builder. What do I want to show? I have a pretty fast connection here, so I'm going to take a chance and say, you know what, show me everything first. You want to know what I mean by fast? I'm going to show them, Mark, what we did.
Yeah, this is pretty
cool
wait.
Stuff. Look at that.
Watch this. Look at 85 megabits per
Anybody
second.
Else has that connection here? Sorry. You got to be here to get that. I'm just kidding. I'm just messing with you. You can have the connection right where we're done, after we're done. Okay, so let's see how long this takes. I don't know. It's still going to the cloud, and depending on how cloudy it is outside, we'll see. Okay, so here we go. 2,122 results of basically everything that I have in this tenant over here. Well, I'm looking for something specific. These are my preview results, of course. I'm looking for something specific. I'm looking for only presentations to be shown on this particular page, right? So I can actually bring up a property file type and say contains. There's a bunch of different things you can do over here, by the way, to get the actual file type. I'm going to say, in this case, manual value and PPTX. Let's see. Test query. 105 results. In addition to this thing, actually, you know what? Before I move on, let me show you this as well. You're probably wondering, is this it? Are there no more properties that I can use? Nope. These are just the most used ones. But if you go to show all managed properties, there's a lot of them that you can use, okay? Bunch of it. Okay, what I want to do also is provide a specific search term. So once you find all these PowerPoint, what keyword are you looking for within this presentation? So we're looking for Contoso presentations. This search box query, whatever you put in front of it, which right now says all, it will take that into account. This, by the way, is there by default, but in case, let's say if you don't have it, here's how you put it in. Query from the search box, add keyword filter, and then you put in the key term. Okay, and test query. There might be a space in here. No, I think it's fine. All right, my preview looks good. I'm going to click on OK, OK. And then here's my result. Let's save this page. Works pretty nicely, I think. Of course, this is Office Web Apps also that's deployed here, so I can see the preview right here of my PowerPoint deck. A very cool functionality. Every time somebody returns to this page, and of course, the link to this page could be anywhere you want it to be, right? They will see the most latest Contoso presentations in this case. There's one more thing, though, which occurs to me that you don't have to just set up this web part in one place and just let it be do what it does. You can also set up the actual query at a more higher level. So you can set it up at the result sources level, and it would work as following. You would have a result source defined here. I'll call it result source. And then you would have different web parts, which are search results web parts. There's others too, but we're talking about search results right now. So search results. I'm sorry, I can't write on this thing that easily. But these are all different web parts, let's say, that you've put out there, here. Now, why would you want to do that? Well, the result source right here might be showing all Contoso presentations, right? Contoso presentations. So PowerPoints, Contoso. Now, this particular one right here, let's change the color. This one, this one right here could be showing only presentations, nothing else. This one right here could be showing only information about Contoso. This one right here could be showing something else. I don't know. But this way, you have a result source set up. And then basically, what you're saying is I'm filtering my content at the site level. And within my web parts, I'm getting a subset of those results within each web part. And I'll quickly show you where that is. And I'll turn it over to Mark again. So within site settings, you go into result source right here. Within result source, you make a new result source. And the main beauty of this thing, the main magic happens when you launch the query builder, which looks almost exactly like what I showed you in the web part query builder. You make it here, and then you say, all right, now I got this web part, go ahead and use this result source and give me a subset of that data. What do you think?
I think it's awesome. And that's just a flavor of what you can do.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And so this is an example of what's called a search-driven application. Okay. And it's really easy to do in SharePoint.
Yeah. Should I tell them the caveat, too, for this?
We can't forget the caveat.
It's always a caveat. I'm so sorry. But, you know, we like to be honest and straightforward with you guys so you don't, you know, curse us out later when you get like, oh, I wish you told me that before. It's search, right? What needs to happen for a search to return information? Indexing, the crawling has to happen. Mm-hmm. So in that case, it is depending on what your index settings are, of course. It's going to take that much longer time. But everything else should work fine.
And right? And you can set up, like, I believe it's called a continuous crawl.
Yeah.
Okay, so that you're almost getting up-to-date information. Okay?
Absolutely.
May only take a few seconds to get something that was just put in there.
That's true. Absolutely.
Great. Okay. Here's another quote. Citizen developers, 25% of new business applications by 2014. Okay. This is a Gartner report that was published July 14, 2011.
Wow.
That was the same time I started working on my handbook.
Wow.
And the website, okay? Cool. And I found this article, and it just really charged me up because I'm just passionate about power users. Well, guess what? We're here. It's 2014. Look how many people are in the room, okay? And so I really see, this is my own humble opinion, but I really see a maturation process going on, the power user really emerging as a really viable audience member because it's so practical, it's so useful, and it's so inexpensive to develop these applications. And this quote was July 14, 2011, and Gartner, that's their job. They're prognosticators, okay? And I think that they have come true in this case. Okay, now this is what I call the SharePoint customization continuum to try to give you a big picture of what we're talking about, okay? When you first get SharePoint, okay, it's just kind of a fuzzy thing, okay? I think I can create sites with this, okay? But I'm not sure what I can do with it, okay? And but there's a continuum of things that you can do, okay? And so what I'm trying to capture here is the what types of customizations you can do. Well, the first thing is you customize out of the box, right? Sites, docs, lists, social. Okay, all of a sudden, everybody starts using it, and you start stuffing a lot of things into SharePoint, okay, and it's all unique, okay? What's that like, okay? That's like buying a new house, right? You move in, you move into the new house, and it's bare walls, okay? And what's the first thing you're going to do? Well, you're going to take some of the furniture that you packed in the truck, and then maybe you're going to go out and buy some other stuff, and you're going to decorate, okay, and you're going to design. Okay, and you're going to fill up some rooms because you need them right away, okay? And everybody can do that, okay? Anybody can do that for good or bad, okay? Anybody can design and put furniture in their house. So that's the analogy, okay? What's the next phase of the customization continuum? I call this declarative capabilities, okay? We saw a little bit with the search web part, right? You're doing a query against all these search indexes, and it's easy to do, okay? And then you've got all these properties that you can control, and then you can do all different types of searches and customize it the way you want, okay? And then all of the other, what I call declarative capabilities, the enterprise content management, okay, document management, records control, published sites, the vast amount of functionality that you might put in there can be done through forms and your checkboxes. And now you're going to need some intelligence to figure out what to do, okay? And some energy, because there's a lot of forms and there's a lot of options that you might need to set. And you may have to iterate that design. That's okay, okay? It takes some time to do that, but you're doing it yourself without code. And if you take a look at these pillars of functionality that are in SharePoint, and then go back 5 years, okay, they weren't there in the product. They were separate products, or you'd have to go to third-party vendors to do it. And they weren't fully integrated into the SharePoint platform, but now they are, okay? What's that like? That's like shopping at your favorite Scandinavian furniture store, okay? Right? You know, you're not going to buy the furniture as it is and then have a truck ship it. You're going to get it and get the boxes, you know, get your packing bin numbers and bring it home and then fall in love with particle board and locking screws.
Walmart?
Okay. Right.
Walmart?
No, not Walmart. No, IKEA, I believe, is the acronym. Anyway, so the point is that you're going to save some money, okay, and you're going to build the furniture yourself, okay? But you don't have to be an expert at it, okay? You can do it. Anybody can do this. Now, you got to follow the sequence, okay, right? How many of here have actually brought IKEA furniture home and they didn't read the instructions and they didn't follow the sequence and then they had to take it? You know, everybody does that, okay? So the point is, it does require a little bit of skill, okay, to do that, okay? But it doesn't require any code, okay? The no-code solutions, this is the heart of the presentation, of course, and this is just some examples of what tools you can use. You can use Access, you can use Excel, you can use Workflow, you can use Business Connectivity Services. There's many more, okay? And these are the solutions that require business users, people who have business user knowledge, and have the technical expertise to put these together, okay? And oftentimes you gotta pull together lots of different features of SharePoint to make this happen, and you sew these things together, okay? That's the concept. You're taking these fundamental building blocks and then you're sewing them together in a solution, okay? What's that like? Anybody ever watched the show on PBS called The New Yankee Workshop? Okay, I love that show, right? It's so relaxing just to watch Norm, okay, you know, who's got this really incredible workshop in the backyard, say, this week we're gonna do a shaker hope chest, okay? And next week we're gonna do a roll top desk, okay? How do you make wood roll and curve like that, right? He shows you how to do that, okay? Or a corner hutch cabinet. You can never find corner hutch cabinets. I remember searching for these for my living room. I couldn't find one. Why not build one, okay? That's the concept. So now you watch that video. You have some technical skills. You have some basic carpentry skills, okay? You got some space and a workshop. You say, hey, I could do this, okay? But you also want to get the diagrams, okay? And then the explosions of the parts. And then they usually have a sequence of instructions, right? Okay, so it's going to take some time. It's going to take some skill. But again, no code, okay? But you can do it, right? And so that's the, by analogy, what a power user is, okay? And then what's the last thing, okay? Managed code, okay? Apps, right? Client-server object model in JavaScript, okay? Reusable components like creating your own web parts, okay? What's that like? That's like, okay, I want a buffed out kitchen, okay? Spare no expense, beautiful cherry cabinets, custom made, 2 stoves, 2 refrigerators, 2 washing machines. I've heard this, it's like, really, you need that many? But anyway, some people do that. But that's the analogy, right? Okay, that's gonna cost money, okay? But what do you get out of that? You get a really custom kitchen, or with code, a custom solution. And by the way, it doesn't have to be, you know, a $300,000 or $400,000 project that lasts for a year. Maybe it's a web part. Okay, we've gone this far with no-code solutions, and now we need a reusable component. And the best way to do that is to actually have a developer do a custom web part. Okay, or maybe I need to do some client-side JavaScript to enhance the usability of the web page, okay? So those are just a couple examples where, hey, we can take the no-code solution 90% of the way, and then we can do 10% of code.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's a very common practice.
You know, regarding no-code solutions, one thing that I always hear people say is, somehow my project always becomes the 11th project.
Right.
It's like the top 10 list, and then mine is 11th. And it always stays at that 11th position, unfortunately. And I wish I had the knowledge, the tools and stuff that these awesome developers have to make my own solutions. Well, I think they do.
Yes.
Absolutely,
yeah,
they
that's
do.
That's the point. Yeah.
It's just the awareness of what you
right.
can do. Then
right.
if you want to get somebody else to do it, that's up to you, of course, but it's possible. And then the management of it, I think it becomes much more easier because a business user who has the business knowledge can maintain it going forward. It might be you, might be somebody else, but it doesn't require these specific technical skills that other guy is going to require to do the in-depth coding. So I think that's actually a sell by itself kind of a motto. You know what? Like you were saying before, don't code unless you really have to. But if you do have to, of course, you have to do it, or you buy something, right? But there's a huge spectrum of stuff that you can do without coding.
Right. Exactly.
And Mark is later going to, I don't want to take his thunder away, but he's going to show you an awesome resource that he has put together, which shows you many of those case scenarios, many, many of those. What I'm going to do right now, excuse me, is talk about SharePoint Designer 2013 workflows. When I did this presentation last year or something similar to this thing, was it 2 years ago? I can't remember anymore. 2 years ago at the SPC.
It was a year and a half, yeah.
Things go by so fast. Okay, I showed things from scratch, but I want to take a poll here to see how many people have already worked with SharePoint Designer 2013 workflows, so I know where to start.
Okay.
Not as many,
that's
actually.
A lot.
I thought, well, yeah, but it's like 1/6 of the room, I feel. Maybe 1/7.
Okay, 6.5.
1/6.5, yeah. So I'm going to start maybe a little bit, not completely from scratch, but a little bit up. I just have to understand the features in it, and then I'll go a little bit deeper inside, right? SharePoint Designer 2013 is a free application, first of all. Download it, use it. You can use it on-premise, use it on SharePoint Online, no problem. Mm-hmm. Keeping in mind that this is at the site level. It is not at the site collection level. It is not at the farm level that you're making changes. You're making changes at the site level. Okay, having said that, here's what I'm going to do. I need a process to automate something, and in my case, it's going to be a fairly simple thing. It's not really much of an automation. I just want announcements that get put in here to be, or not in here, but announcements list to be approved before they become available. List workflow, announcements. This is from the workflow section of SharePoint Designer, by the way. And within here, I'm just going to say announcement approval. It's going to be a SharePoint 2013 workflow, which does require the 2013 engine, by the way. That's the workflow manager. It is already built in the cloud, in the server, on your on-premise. You would have to install it, but licensing is already included. And once I start this, it's going to go ahead and give me a nice blank template, hopefully soon. Here we go, where I can build stages, steps, actions, conditions, etc. And I'll do it a little bit faster than I did last time, assuming a lot of people have already seen it. So here's what I want to do. Action. Set workflow, not variable, set workflow status. There's a bunch of different things here, by the way, that you can do. What is my set workflow status? Right here. Thank you. And the message here is going to be announcement, approval, starting. I hope this fits in there. I've not tried a really long string before. I was waiting to try it in front of 1,000 people. You know? It's more fun that way.
It's very brave.
See, I look at it as, you know what? If things break, hopefully you'll understand of why things break. You know, sometimes they do. But I like trying it in front of the audience. Why not? As long as you guys are forgiving enough. Okay, the next thing here. Now, by the way, the reason I want to put this status up here is because I want my users to understand in regular layman terms that it's not just starting or is whatever. What is it? Is it a legal document approval that's being started? Is it an announcement being started? So they could see it right there in the list to see exactly what's starting. That's the first thing. Second thing, I'm just going to start typing in here, log and login message. You can start typing or you can pick it from actions or conditions. And login message saying something like the same thing. Workflow starting, for example. Okay, simple stuff here, nothing to earth-shattering. Then assign an action. So assign a task. Assign a task to this user. This is the newer window in 2013. I'll click on ellipses to show all different users who are here. And I'll pick, you can pick anybody you want to by going this way, but I already have the person right here, so I'll pick him, Garth Fort. Task title is going to be approve announcement. Of course, you can have a description in there too. Task options, let's do this. Wait for task completion before the workflow continues. If you do uncheck this thing, it's going to be basically in parallel with other stuff that's going on. This is going to happen, but other things will continue. Let's leave this checked right now. Here's one of the things I like about this dialog box, you have the email editor right here built in, right? That's pretty cool, right? If you haven't seen it before. Yeah, yeah, see. You don't have to hold back your applause. Come on, we appreciate applause, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Come on. All right, so yeah, you could do these things in 2010, but it's just much, much easier in 2013. You have a new task assigned from, and then I'll put in the initiator of the workflow. That's the person who has assigned you the task, right? So I'll do a lookup here. And the lookup is going to be from the source workflow context, the context of this workflow. Find that. Within that, find the initiator right here. Within that, display name, email address, whatever you want to show right there. So I'll show display name. Okay, done. That's my email. You can also do send overdue task emails. That's fine. My only request to you is going to be not to use this thing. You know, just if I was in your team, I would just fire myself and leave if this happened. Stop those emails. All right. So I'm just going to uncheck this right now. Outcome options is going to be approved or rejected, but keeping in mind that you could have other outcomes as well. It could be pending. It could be something else. And the task outcome field is a side column that you can change if you wanted to with different outcomes. Okay. Would this be okay, sir? I think what it needs me to do, I think I found a bug, Mark.
Oh, okay.
I could put one in here and then uncheck this thing. There you go.
Bug was fixed.
Bug's
fast.
Fixed. You should wear this shirt.
Yes, you can. Yeah, right. The question was, can you do that with a group? And the answer was yes. Yeah.
All right. So move on a little bit here. So I need a second stage. Let's make it a little bit faster. Second stage, and that's going to be approved. And the insight is going to be over here, set workflow status to be a message. And that's going to be approved, announcement approved, something like that. We'll do a log here as well, so we have a log of this thing. And then I'm going to say transition to stage, which is where do I go after this thing is done? And the only action for this one is go to a particular stage, and the stage could be the previous stage itself or end of workflow, right? Or any other stage that's available. Sorry, who's talking? Yeah.
Can you loop? Is that the question?
I think the question he's asking is, can you create an infinite loop with it?
Yes, you can, okay.
Would you like to?
So, yeah, but you...
Yeah, my understanding on this one, actually, that there is actually a timeout limit. Right. I do not know what it is in SharePoint Online, but that's a very good question. I should dig in to find out exactly what it is. It does catch those infinite loops that get out of control, and it does kill the process, guaranteed.
Right.
It does do that, because that's been the case before also, that was a problem. Now, what I want to do is quickly do these things instead of tying up so much of your time. So I'm going to take this whole stage over here and click on good old copy, which is pretty awesome, and go over here and click on paste, just like that. Now, it's saying the stage name exists, which is fine. I'll change it. But just being able to copy stuff around, oh, my God, that's a godsend, I tell you, especially if you've made long, long workflows, and you got to do it again and again and again. You just got to have the workflow right here, and then you're typing the whole thing in. That's just ridiculous. Anyway, so in here, you have that. Now, I'm going to give you another thing here as well before I forget. When you upgrade from SharePoint 2010 to SharePoint 2013, your SharePoint Designer 2010 workflows will still be SharePoint 2010 type of workflows. They will not automatically convert into 2013 workflows. However, you will still have the copy-paste functionality for the SharePoint Designer 2010 workflows. It's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah. You spend months sometimes making something. You don't want to make it again. Just enhancing it is easier, much easier. Okay, so we got this. Go to end of workflows. I need a transition stage as well. And in here, I'm going to say a condition. If any value equals value, the value we're talking about here is going to be workflow variables and parameters, workflow outcome field. The outcome can only be approved or rejected. So I'll say if it's approved, then go to approve stage. If it's rejected, go to rejected stage, right? And then if everything else is good, I think. I'm done here. This is a small one, but I'll show you a much more complicated one as well after this one. I'm going to go to the workflow settings page and click on this check mark right here that says start workflow automatically when a new item is created. So I don't have to start it manually. And I'll click on publish. And then I'll pray.
Publish and pray, right?
Publish and pray.
Yeah.
That's right. How'd you know my secret to success?
Well.
Okay.
Okay, right. Oh,
yeah, T-shirt called Publish and
publish
Pray.
Publish and Pray, yeah.
I like that. Okay. So now, where is this thing? SBC. Here's the actual site. In the site, there should be an announcements list. In the announcements list, new announcement. The announcement is a shocking announcement. Meets in the cafeteria. Okay. All right. I would not approve this announcement. But anyway. So I've done this here. It's not pulling it in yet right now. There's actually a timer job that has to run for this to happen. But the announcement approval is the actual workflow. That is the actual workflow column. And right here, it should tell me what the status is. Keep praying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
While you're waiting for that.
Yeah.
You said that to go to a specific person. You said it to go to an approving manager, out of Active Directory, or something like that instead.
Are you asking that, can you automatically pull the person's manager and then have it be assigned to that manager instead of you doing it manually? That's a great question. The answer is no. So, you know what? I'm sorry. I didn't really mean that in that direct sense. You can do it, but that particular functionality is not in SharePoint Designer 2013 workflows. It is in SharePoint Designer 2010 workflows. Now, I asked that question, why would you take that away? You know? There's actually a few things that got taken away, and it's a brand new engine, the workflow manager, so some of the things did get deprecated. However, having said that, Microsoft is looking for feedback from you guys. There's the website called uservoice.com, and then some you have to go to a specific domain, right? Subdomain. And then please make sure you write that in that uservoice.com site. We are already, I as an MVP and as also a customer of Microsoft, always give them this kind of feedback. You know what, this is what my customers or my attendees for the presentations are asking. But it would be much more value, I think, is coming from you. There is a bunch of stuff that is going to come in the product, which is not there yet. Now, what do I do meanwhile? Am I stuck with all the stuff that I was doing before in SharePoint Design 2010? No. You can call the SharePoint Designer 2010 workflow and have it do that specific action and pass you the value back. I know.
It's right, it's a little harder.
Yeah.
Right? But it is doable that
it
way.
It is doable. That's the main thing. So, okay. Did my prayer work? Yes. My prayer worked. Works. Woohoo. I guess you guys are praying as well, so I appreciate it, guys. Thank you. Announcement approval starting. You go into it. And here's a status page. Garth Ford has been assigned the actual approval. I do have Garth opened up here. That's Garth right here, as you can see, top. So with Garth, if you go to Outlook, Garth's Outlook will show the actual email that should have come through, because whenever a task is assigned, automatically an email is generated, right? 6.03 p.m. back in Chicago. Don't get worried. You're not late for the party. Calm down. Okay, so 6.03 p.m. Chicago time, you have a new task assigned to from Asif Rahmani, which is me, right? That's the initiator of the workflow. And I can click on this to go back to the actual announcement. Here I can click on edit item, and then you know from here I can click on approve. Once again, you can have additional outcomes, but I do not at this time, so I'll click on approved, and it's done. So if I do go back now, refresh this, hopefully it should say completed, approved, okay? Once again, the process itself is not new, but the design way, the way we're designing is brand new. And usually my students, I'm a trainer, of course, as well, well, they say, you know what, show me something that's more complicated, Asif. Come on, it's simple stuff. So I want to show you something that's more complicated. Just show it to you. I cannot build this whole thing within 15 minutes. It takes time. But something that the scenario is that point me to a blog, it will go to the blog, pull out all the RSS feed from it. One by one, it's going to take the information and the URL for the specific entry and put it into a specific source, a specific destination. In my case, that happens to be a list, but it could be whatever. Here's how this workflow looks. It doesn't look too scary, but it is a bit scary. This one is calling a web service. The web service is actually accepting the actual the portion of the actual blog entry, which is defined in one of the list metadata. And once it understands what it is, for example, my blog is blog.sharepoint-videos.com, it goes and picks up information from there, puts it, let's see if I could do this here. Yeah, there you go. So it takes information there and puts it into a dictionary variable. From there, it actually parses, it actually counts the items in the dictionary variable. These are all new stuff, calling web service, having a dictionary variable. And then once it does that, it logs the exact count of the item, and then it sets a variable, just a index variable to zero, and then it does the looping for that variable, okay? Looping is also very cool. It's also included in SharePoint Design 2013.
There was a question about looping over here.
Looping?
So
no questions
this
allowed.
This is how
Sorry.
It's done.
I'm just kidding.
Right.
What was the question?
No, I was just going back to the previous question about looping.
Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I think he was talking about more of the any kind of loop or whatever else, just calling stage and it keeps on calling the same stage again and again and just stuck in an infinite loop, right? And that could happen with stages. It could happen with this loop. It could happen. But once again, there's an actual timer job that's running that's actually looking for these kind of gone array kind of processes and it terminates them.
And
well, to be honest, staging is also looping, right? You're calling different stages. This is a particular loop that says that let me loop to do an action a particular number of times or until a particular condition is true. Mm-hmm. So depending on what you're looking to do, you could use any of these looping mechanisms, okay?
And I just want to say that this is a new feature. That's okay. This is a new feature for 2013.
Yes.
Okay.
It is not within 2010. Yeah.
I'm sorry, what kind of workflows? Machine state
workflows. I got to say that, I don't know what your opinion about this, but I don't think it's that complex, but it's getting there. What do you think?
Not in the workflows that we're showing here, possibly in Visual Studio. You know, one of the things you can do is take this whole thing and put it into Visual Studio and enhance it. So it's possible you could do it there. Then there was a question over here. Yeah, you have to be, possibly, you have to be careful when you're looping through a list, okay, because it's not efficient, to put it simply. But people do it, okay, if you could do it as a background job or do it at night or something like that. But it is possible to do that. I wouldn't do it with a large list, or at least test it and see how that works. But that is one thing that people use workflows for, is to process a list. Yep.
Absolutely. And all I want to do here is just to show you some of these things. If you want to know exactly how this one is built, by the way, with the loops, the new dictionary variable, calling web service, if you want to know exactly step by step, we're going to be including it. I believe we can still edit our PowerPoint, I think. If not, maybe I should have understood that before. But yeah. I think regardless, there's a way we can put resources for this session.
Oh, sure.
And we'll
put
all these links and resources. In this case...
Well, maybe the Yammer... post
there
is a good
go.
Place to put it because I actually put all the links that are at the end of the presentation in a Yammer post for our presentation.
That's
so
a great
if you look
idea.
In Yammer, you'll see that. Just search for Mark Gillis and it should come up.
Yeah, and if you're looking for the exact thing, that's also on the site here. These are all free videos here, by the way. You can go watch it. Should come up over here. Anyway. Oh, I have to actually click on it. I'm sorry. Should know our site better than that. Okay, so this is the actual video, which is a 22 minutes video, which walks you through each and every step. There's no PowerPoint, nothing else. It walks you exactly what you need to do. Okay? Anyway, so just showing you what it does, I'm almost done over here, looping it, getting the actual content each time from the first entry, the second entry, the third entry, and putting it into a list. That's what it does. I don't want to go through every single intricacy in here, otherwise we're going to be here for a long time. So let me show you how this works. Test. Within test site, blog entries. Okay, so that's the actual blog entries. This is the product, the actual at the end. But here's where I define a new item. Title is going to be, Mark, what's your blog? You want to use that?
Mark's blog.
Love it. Is there a...
It's best I could do on the spur of the moment.
I'm sorry. Is there a feed I could use for that?
Don't have a feed on there
Love
yet.
Putting
but...
people on spot.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm used to it.
I'm going to pretend that this is your blog, okay?
How
about that? We'll just pretend. Yeah, if this thing right here, let me check it as well to make sure it's going to work right. So that's a blog feed, right? Regular blog feed. It could be any blog feed. And I'll just go ahead and put this the HTTP in there as well. But that's all I'm providing, the title and the actual feed. Clicking on save. And I believe this is a manually driven workflow. So I got to click on workflows, kick it off, list blog entries. And just by doing that, it's going to go ahead and make the web service call. It's going to go ahead and pull information in. Here we go. Let's see if this is done. Started. Okay, so this might go for a little bit as well. Let's start praying together. Yeah? Maybe we'll come back to this over here. But what it's going to look like at the end, oh, here we go. Blog items count 10. That's the 10 latest ones. Hopefully it's not 10 altogether. But it's 10 latest ones that it's able to get right now. And then in here, in the actual blog entries, it will show each blog entry. It will show the URL. Still a simplish kind of example. You could do so much with it, though. Yeah,
that's pretty amazing because you're going out, you're reading its REST data, and then you're putting it into a list. Okay, that's powerful to be able to do that. It could be any REST data source.
Yeah, okay? Absolutely.
And then the other thing to point out is that when you're using workflows, it's like you're coding without code. Okay, all of the logical constructs of programming are in there, but it's all variable-driven. It's prescriptive. Okay.
Beautiful, I think.
And then, for example, you saw approving and rejecting. That's a very common workflow. Well, think about the expense reports, right? You can add a workflow to the expense reports. It goes to the person in accounting who approves or rejects the the expense report. Okay, so you can set up that process without doing code.
I think that's extremely powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. You know. Anyway, let's continue.
Yeah.
See, how much time do we have left here?
Got about 15 minutes, I think.
Well, so we want to save some time for the questions, okay? That's very important. I hope you've been very observant.
I'm not taking these back.
So, this is your new favorite website. You're all power users, or most of you are, okay? No code solutions using SharePoint 2013 composites, okay? Let me click on this and show you how it works. First, I got to push the button. Okay, so this is on the web, and it's one page, and I call it a curated website, okay? And by the way, there's a download to the handbook, which I'll talk about a little bit after this. But now, does this look familiar? Does this look like something you've seen before? I'm sorry?
Production Hub, he's saying.
I'm not sure what Production Hub is.
I think you're talking about Productivity Hub.
Okay, give you a hint. Yeah. Think of an office product that it looks like, okay? It looks like Excel, okay?
I have to give that lady a gift.
Yeah, absolutely. Over there.
Who was that? Was that you?
She whispered and she got
I heard you.
She gets the prize, okay? So there's 114 solutions here. So what I do is one of the things I do in my job is I curate. I'm constantly looking for really good solutions that are no-code type solutions, and I've collected them together, And here is a slicer, okay? So show me the access solutions that you have, okay? So I can filter on that pretty easily, okay? Show me the ones about digital assets, creating a no-code solution with digital assets, okay? Show me one, or show me solutions you have about external data or business connectivity services, okay? Let me see all the solutions that are here. Notice that in this yellow section up here, it updates and tells you how many it's found, okay? I can filter by whether they're new. I can filter by the type of solution, okay? Is it a case study? Is it a book, a showcase, a tutorial, a webcast?
That is awesome.
Okay, so what I've done is taken these, and also the version, okay? And by the way, there's a lot of 2010 versions in here, and that's okay. A lot of these solutions were done for 2010. They're still very appropriate, or you're still on 2010, okay? And so you can use them, and they're powerful, too. They're like a one-hour web videos, and they go through a particular, you know, feature of Excel, like creating a dashboard or something like that. I'm not going to, you know, link to them here, but the point I want to make is that this is a dynamic website, and it's a great resource for you. Okay, so remember when I did that SharePoint Continuum slide, and I said, you know, Norm is doing the New Yankee Workshop, and then you can get the exploded diagram and the instructions, okay? Well, that's the concept behind this. These are really viable solutions, and you can use them as models for your own solution. Of course, you're going to have to do your own solution, okay, because it's unique to your business, but the point is you got a really, really rich model that you can follow, okay? By the way, how did I do this? Okay, how much code did I use to do this? Okay, this web page is actually very simple.
Zero.
Woo-hoo. Okay, actually maybe about two lines. It was like an iframe in HTML. Okay, but that's close enough. And by the way, it's generated code, so I didn't even have to write it myself. Okay, so maybe zero is the right answer, okay? So the Excel spreadsheet is on my OneDrive, okay? Not OneDrive Pro, it's on OneDrive. And then this is a public web page, this is on TechNet, and then I just plugged in the generated code, okay? And I went to, you know, our site manager and said, here's what I need, here's what I want, and she plugged it right in there, and bingo, there it goes, right? Now, if I want to add solutions to this, which I've done over time, I just update the spreadsheet, okay? You refresh the page, and the new solutions show up. I don't have to republish the page, okay? Think about that, okay? That's powerful, it's dynamic. Okay, and this is a perfect example of a no-code solution, right? You're using Excel, and then you get the generated code, and you plug it in, and it looks good, okay? It looks like it was done in JavaScript, okay? But it wasn't. You don't have to know JavaScript to do these types of things. You can do it with embedded Excel. Anyway, so that link is available. Please check it out when you get a chance. I think you'll find it to be a really good resource. Okay, so.
Do you describe in there how you did that?
Is there a video for that?
I believe I have some articles that talk about how to do embedded Excel. They're available. They're available through our documentation. Okay. Here we go. So, how many were Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts at one point in their lives? Yeah, me too. Right. So here's the original Boy Scouts of America official handbook, okay? I chose this one because it was the only one that was copyright free. But anyway, I think it was published in the 19th century. It says price 25 cents net, okay? I don't know what the net is, but anyway, you have a handbook available for you. You can download it. You can get it from that web page, okay? And it's about 90 pages long. And just like a Boy Scout, okay, you carried that handbook around with you and said, you know, how do I, pitch a tent, okay? How do I build a fire, okay? How do I put out a fire that was caused by the fire that I built, okay? The handbook told you all those things, okay? So here's the, this is actually Word Online here. And it's, you know, it's got about 90 pages, and don't worry, we're not going to read the whole thing right now, okay? But I just want to show you what it covers, okay? First of all, the first section is SharePoint Composite Fundamentals, when we were using that term. but it's the fundamentals about no-code solutions, okay? So it gives you a really good big picture, okay, that you can read, you know, when you fly back home, for example, okay? And then the part two that I think this would be really useful for you, because what do developers do? They go through a solution code life cycle, okay? And it's usually a very formal process, okay? Well, you're power users, you're no-code solution developers, but you don't want to have to go through some sort of structured code solution life cycle, because that's going to take too long, okay? You want to do an agile one. But what I did in here was pull together, what are the things you need to think about? Okay, users and stakeholders, business logic, how do I implement business logic? What's the ways to do that? How do I manage my data? Where can I put it? Or documents, okay? What types of data presentation can I do, okay? And so this drills down and really helps you think about your particular solution, and is there anything that you're missing or you didn't think of that you might want to add to that? Okay, and then the last part talks about what I call composite patterns or no-code solutions. Think of them as no-code solution patterns, and this is something I borrowed from like architects, okay? They have this concept of patterns, code patterns that you can use and reuse so that you can get, you know, 50% of your development done pretty quickly, okay? If you were a coder. Well, you're not, but you have no-code solution patterns in here, and I've identified about 20 of them, you know, and Asif has done several for you, but there's many more, okay? And it gives you a real deep sense of what are the capabilities on the SharePoint platform. And by the way, this is out of date. I freely admit it. I haven't had a chance to publish it. How many want it to be up to date so I can go back to my manager and say, put Mark to work and update that handbook? Okay,
there
great.
You go.
Great. Good answer. Okay.
I just put a lot of effort in this thing, by the way.
And so this is yours. Download it. Please use it. The whole, you know, when Asif and I got together, we said, how can we put together one presentation that says, here's all the resources that you're going to need to be successful power users and no-code solution creators, okay? And so you have everything you need. You have a handbook, you have solutions to guide you, and then the last thing is skill development. Well, I need to learn a little bit more about these workflows, okay? Where do I go to get that? You go to SharePointVideos.com. That's probably the best site on the web today for power users, okay? And then they also announced a joint venture with Critical Path Training, and they got some great instructors on there, and you can do even deeper training there. So all of the things that you might need to do that, that's available, and most of these resources are free, okay? Because we want you to be successful.
I'm not sure if we'll get a chance really to do that, otherwise we won't be able to give the prizes away, so maybe not that demo anymore.
Okay.
There are a couple of demos that we were not able to do right now, the Access web app. And anybody wanted to see that, really? You really wanted to see it? Stick around, I'll do it for you. I'm not kidding, no problem.
I believe there's a really good Access demo that's after this session here. If you look on your sessions, they'll do a whole session on it.
If you really like to see us do it, then we can still do it. We'll just wrap up here for the people who want to get some prizes and send a wrap up, and then we'll do it.
And one more thing I just want, before we get to the questions, is there's three links at the bottom here. My manager made me put this on here, okay? But it's useful. It's the adoption training kit, okay? And we just developed these, okay? Now, they are targeted for end users. The whole point is, hey, you want to come up to speed, and you want your users to be able to learn a lot of these new features quickly. They're there, okay? And they're designed for large enterprises and for small businesses, okay? And these are great resources. Now, what does the power user do a lot of time on the job? End users come up to you and ask you questions all the time, right? That's 50% of the time you spend, right? Okay, well, here's, you know, and you don't have to answer the question. Just say, go to this link, okay? Find the answer there, then come back, okay? That's going to save you a lot of time and also make your end users more successful, too. So
awesome.
All these links are on the Yammer website, and you can go check them out pretty quickly.
Yeah. Hey, before we do the questions, you know, for giveaway, I always like to just thank everybody for their time. You know, you guys are spending 1 hour and 15 minutes with us, so thank you very much for being here. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks, folks.
Okay, so let's go
first
with the
question. First question is,
Okay, so I think the best thing is I don't have my glasses on, so you're going to have to look. Okay, raise your hand, okay? I was a former teacher.
I'll look up.
When was the Gartner article about citizens developers first published? What was the date?
Okay. I'm sorry, I saw your... Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah. Sorry? That's correct.
Wow.
July 14, 2011. Good.
Nice.
Go
ahead. Nice. You'll get the next one.
What is the power user motto?
That's for this. There's too many answers on that one. Who did I give it to?
Who's first? Be honest. Okay, she was first over there.
You're being honest, right? I think you deserve one, too.
These are free books here.
All right.
But I know you want to get to the Speedway.
All right, next one is for the book.
What was the subject of the three demos during the presentation that Asif did? The three demos.
The subject of the three demos. So the workflow, search results, web part, and? Did you say geolocation? Is that what you said? Yeah, there you go. You got it. Nice. There you go. Awesome.
What was the price of the original Boy Scout handbook? Okay, you raise your hand first there, okay?
Who was that over there? Okay.
This is one you might have missed. What was the margin of victory in the 1996 election for Bill Clinton over Bob Dole?
We have to hand them out tomorrow, too, but this is for the... Yeah. Go ahead.
How much? No, the margin of victory. Not three, no, a little higher. Nope, a little lower.
Warmer, colder. Just shout out numbers, guys. You'll get it. Nine!
Who said nine? Woo-hoo!
Winner! Woohoo! Awesome.
9%, 49-40.
Who was that, over there?
Had to get Bill in there somehow. Anyway, thank you very much. If you have any questions, let us know. Go enjoy your evening, too, okay?
There's some more stuff over there if you want to take it.
Which book is that?
The handbook. First book for power users.
Okay. Are you talking about the one that Asif
We're going to be giving out copies tomorrow at Agile Point Booth, actually.
Yeah, Asif wrote that book. It's available in the bookstore. Yep.
How about anybody who wants to ask a question, and if they ask a really good question, they get something too, yeah? Very good question.
Yes.
You already signed up?
We'll be...
Here you go.
2013 Woohoo! InfoPath 4th be migrated.
You do what? You didn't say the right word.
No migration. No. Right now there are no plans to do any migration.
So is it safe to say that we should avoid building InfoPath 4th throughout 2013 SharePoint?
You're right. It says garbage.
I don't think you don't have to do that if you don't want to, I think is the best answer. If you want to develop, you can do that because you have 10 years before the InfoPath is retired, okay, and it will be supported, okay? So you can continue to do that, but what Microsoft encourages you to look at the alternatives as they come out.
But it's gone.
Okay.
Access forms and web forms, or what's the best power users?
In the presentation this morning, they talked about that, and so they have this new concept called FOSL, F-O-S-L, and it basically takes the access forms functionality and folds it into lists, okay? In other words, but it's not connected to the back-end database. It's the code itself is available through the list, and they demonstrated that, okay?
There's no code solution.
Absolutely.